Before we begin this morning's shiur, I want to just mention the dedication by Patty and Michael Steinmetz, and we're grateful for your sponsoring of the shiur this morning, Le'ilui Nishmas, Patty's mother, Gittel Bas Ze'ev Yitzchak Ufega, whose ninth yahrzeit is today. And as I told Patty yesterday, the amount of nachas that I'm sure your mother must have, not only from the wonderful simchas that we were able to participate in this week, but of the wonderful family that she has built, and that continues to be such a proud mainstay of our community. Emir Hashem, her neshama should have an aliyah from our Dibrei Torah, and she should have an aliyah san neshama from all the wonderful things that you, your siblings, and all of their children are doing to enhance the Jewish people. So we're here this morning to talk about the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. And the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah are so critical for us to understand. Number one, as we know, the centerpiece, the essence, the focal point of the Rosh Hashanah davening is Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros that we say in Musaf. Maybe you've never noticed that these three sections are obviously very important, but maybe you've never noticed what the correlation is. What do they correspond to? What is it that's unique about Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros? And perhaps the reason is that the Rambam writes there are Yud Gimel Ikarei HaEmunah. The Rambam writes that there are 13 principles of faith, which in and of itself was a very controversial statement. There were many who disagreed with the Rambam and said, how can you say that there is an Ikar HaEmunah? How can you say that something is more important than another? Does that mean that there's a mitzvah in the Torah that is less significant? How can one ever say such a thing? But we have adopted the opinion of the Rambam that there are 13 mainstays of what it means to be an Orthodox and practicing Jew. There were others who felt that you can boil it down even smaller to only three categories. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Albo in the Sefer HaIkrim, where he writes that there are only three main fundamental points and principles that every Jew needs to be aware of at all times. Number one, he says, the idea of Mitzius Hashem, the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists in the world. Number two, he writes, the concept of Torah Min HaShamayim, the idea that we all believe that the Torah was given in its authenticity from Shamayim, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was not something that was made up by Moshe Rabbeinu or anyone else along the way. It was something that was handed down to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the idea of Torah Min HaShamayim. And finally, the very important concept of Hashgacha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at what goes on in the world, and as a extension of that, the concept of Schar Va'onesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just watch what's going on in the world, but He takes a careful accounting of everything that happens, of all that transpires in our world. And that really is what Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros are all about. It is the opportunity for us once a year to remind ourselves of the most fundamental principles of what it means to be a Jew. Number one, we begin with Malchios. What is Malchios about? It is understanding the Mitzios Hashem. It is reminding ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam. Now obviously it's something we say in every bracha, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, but we may not think about it. And that's why it is the centerpiece, the focal point of the davening on Rosh Hashanah, an opportunity for all of us to be reminded that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam. Mitzios Hashem, He exists. Number two, we talk about Zichronos. What does it mean when we say that we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember? What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgot? If I wouldn't have reminded Him, He would have forgotten? Of course not. When we remind ourselves of this concept of Zichronos, it's a reminder for us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zocher Kol HaNishkachos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at everything that happens in the world, that the Ribono Shel Olam has a careful accounting of Schar Va'onesh, that the Ribono Shel Olam understands everything that we do, not only that we do, but also that we think, everything that we see. There is accountability in the world. That's what Zichronos are. We're not reminding HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember things that He, Kavayachol, may have forgotten. It's reminding us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always sees what goes on in our world and keeps a very careful accounting. And finally, when we talk about Shofros, that really is a reference to Torah Min HaShamayim. The psukim that we describe in the section of the davening of Shofros are psukim that remind us of Kabbalas HaTorah, psukim that remind us of that amazing experience that we had to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the most profound level that we ever had. And that's the three fundamental principles that we need to think about on Rosh Hashanah. Number one, Torah min Hashamayim. Number two, the concept of Schar Ve'Onesh Zichronos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers everything, that the Ribono Shel Olam is keeping a careful accounting. And number three, the most fundamental of them all, Malchios, accepting upon ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam. It is so important that we take time to focus on the Tfilos of the Yom Narom and appreciate what it is that we're saying, what it is that we're doing, what are we engaging in, what is the point, what's the purpose, what are the words about. And it's not too late to do that. Take out a machzor, go get something that has a commentary on the bottom or on the side, and try to go through just the simple understanding of the words to see what it is that we're about to engage in. We're going to spend so much time in shul, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I always think about it, chaval alecha. It's a chaval. If you're going to end up spending so much time in shul, at least know what you're saying. At least appreciate what it is that you're being given the opportunity to engage in. Chaval, just to waste away the time and not really understand what it is that we're here for. But beyond that, I think it's so important and critical for all of us to take advantage of the gift of the Tfilos of Yom Noraim. And I hope the last 2 weeks of Shiurim were also meaningful and insightful. I did not ask Rabbi Axelrod or Rabbi Wolf what they spoke about. I'm working on the assumption, I'm here already 8 years, and we've never said the same thing. Somehow we speak in another minyan every Shabbos. I'm a week after them, I'm a week before them. Somehow we never overlap. So I was pretty confident that wouldn't happen here either. If everything I'm saying is just a repeat, stop me in the middle. We'll go on to some other topic. But here is number one, what I think is a very important introduction to why it is that we need to have a focus on the Tfilos of Yom Noraim. Let's read together the Mishalim of the Dumna Magid. I, for anybody who comes to my shiurim, you know that I have a special affinity for the Dumna Magid. And potentially the reason why is because the Vilna Gaon, who was not a man of fluffy words, who was the gold standard of Limud HaTorah and of everything that we as Jews stand for, the Vilna Gaon found a profound liking, a profound meaning to all the Mishalim of the Dumna Magid. He used to invite the Dumna Magid to his home to give him Musar. It says a whole lot about who the personality may have been and so much about what his Mishalim are all about. So around this time of year, I try to look through the Svarim of the Dumna Magid just to gain some insight and some understanding into what it is that we're about to embark on, the journey of the Yom Noraim. So he writes as follows. This is actually a drasha that he gave. He gathered in before Yom Noraim, he gathered in the Chazanim, and he gathered in the Balei Tokea. Now, I'm wrong in saying that in the plural. It was not the Chazanim and the Balei Tokea. There was one shul with one Chazan and one Balei Tokea. I'm just interpreting it to our situation, where we have 15 minyanim with Chazanim for Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv every day, and a Balei Tokea. Each day of Rosh Hashanah is different. So we have a much larger system and apparatus here, but the Dumna Magid felt it was important that before the Yom Noraim, he have a very direct conversation with the Chazan, with the Shliach Tzibur, with the Balei Tokea. And beyond that, what I found most fascinating is, he has a drasha that he gave to the children of his town before Yom Noraim. I was so moved to read it, where he tries to encourage the kids and explain to them why it's important for them to show up to davening as well. And I'm back and forth whether or not I should share his idea of what he says to the children. The only reason I would share it is because I think it's something meaningful that we can all share with our children, or those of you who have grandchildren or great-grandchildren. You can share it with them. My only hesitation is, it's a little bit of a downer for us adults. It talks a little bit negatively about us, and it speaks very positively about the kids. So with that disclaimer, maybe I'll share it. If it's meaningful to anybody to share with your children, great. If not, tune me out for the next few minutes, and I'll tell you when to come back in. So he writes a mashal when he spoke to the kids. He was trying to inspire them. What is it that I can say to the children to try to make the Yom Noraim meaningful for them? So he said as follows. He says there was a big usher in a town, a very big philanthropist, very wealthy man, but he was so nasty, he was so rude, and he was so disrespectful to everybody. He never had time for anyone. People used to come knocking at his door. People asked him for help. He never helped anybody. Not because You know, he looked into the cause and he didn't feel it was worthy, but because I have better things to worry about, I have bigger things to be putting my mind to, you are not where my focus is. Vayihi hayom, it so happened he lost all of his money. And he's in a very, very difficult position. And he could not support his family. He lost everything. His wife turns to him and says, listen, as uncomfortable as it is, I need you to start knocking on doors to ask people for help. I know we've never had to do this before, but our kids are starving. What are we going to do? He turns to his wife and he says, I agree with you. We're at a point in life where we have no option. He starts pedaling through the town. He's knocking on doors. And as he's going through the town, every single home that he knocks on the door, slams the door in his face, is not willing to help him. Beyond that, they say to him, the nastiest things. I mean, you're the person who treated us this way all these years. Do you think we're going to help you? So aside from not helping him, they all spit in his face and tell him what a nasty person he's been all the years. And they just rewind the tape for him of the interactions that he's had with them over the last so many years that he's been in the community. He comes home, he's devastated, not only because he didn't help his cause and he has no money, but because, as well, he begins to realize how much animosity people have toward him. And he turns to his children and he says, listen, binoheg sheba olam, the normal course of events in the world is parents have young children and it's their responsibility to care for their children. We cannot expect that our two-year-old is going to care for him or herself. A two-year-old is not experienced enough at life to go out to work. They don't really know how to use their talents yet. Maybe when they become adults, they're able to take care of themselves. But right now, when they're children, they have to rely on their parents. And that's the way it needs to be. So he writes, Benoik Shaba Olam, the way it should be is, I should take care of you. And all these years, I did take care of you. Unfortunately, now we're at a position, at a stage in our lives where I can't anymore. Now we're up to a point where we're asking people for matnas chinam. We're asking people just out of the kindness and generosity of spirit to be understanding enough and sensitive enough to us to help us out. What we need right now is the greatest chance to pull at someone's sensitivities. What is the highest likelihood that somebody will be willing to give a matnas chinam at this point in our existence? It's not going to be from the father going around and knocking on the doors. It's going to be the young, sweet, innocent children who've done nothing wrong in their lives, knocking and peddling through town, asking every person in the town to help them. It's the only way we're going to get through this. And said the Dubna Magid, it's what happens when we come to Yom HaDin. Sometimes the adults, he writes, have not exactly treated HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the right way. And now we come to a point where we are the ones who are vulnerable, where we are the ones who need the assistance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're asking Him for so many different things. We have a whole year ahead of us that we're concerned about. We have so many issues in our own family, in our community, with our own health, with our parnasa, with the shidduch, with all the things that everybody's looking forward to, the nachas from the children that they have or don't have. And we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and He says, you? You're the one who's showing up, I'll slam the door on you. Do you know the way you've treated me? And the Dubna Magid says, when we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a matnas chinam, when we realize that we have nothing that He owes us at all, when we realize that there is nothing in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to give us, and all that He gives is simply a matnas chinam, it's just out of a generosity of spirit. It's just out of His sensitive nature that He loves to give. The greatest chance we have is to send our children there. The greatest chance we have is to have the young children who are so innocent and so sweet ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that our family needs. It was so beautiful. First of all, that the Dubna Magid took his time to meet with the young children in town, I think, is so powerful. But to share with them this message, your sincerity, your innocence, is something that is so beloved in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's something that will help all of us as a community. I plan to share it with my children. and I hope it's meaningful to everyone as well. But why is it, he writes, that it's so critical for us to pay attention to the tefillos of the Yamim Noraim? And he says as follows, we'll read it together. Mashal le'echad shehaya toa bayar. There was an individual who was wandering, he was lost, traveling out in a mountain somewhere. V'haya bo chayos roos min adorsim v'hatorfim. There were many dangerous animals that were there in the fields. And he's terrified, and he doesn't know exactly what to do. However, v'haya imo keshes v'chitzim l'hatzil atzmo min hadores. He did come a little bit prepared. He has his bow and arrow. I guess now we would say he has a gun. He has some bullets. And in case he's confronted with an animal that's going to endanger his life, he knows how to save himself. He knows how to protect himself. He's traversing, he's navigating through this forest, and he doesn't know where to go. Everything that he sees in a distance, he's nervous, he's terrified. Maybe that's a wolf, maybe it's a lion, maybe it's an animal that can devour me. So what does he do? He just keeps firing away, he keeps shooting his gun, keeps letting the bullets go out. Ela makamahu, to those places where he sees that there's a danger lurking in the distance. And after he shoots and he comes closer, he realizes, oh, that was a waste. That was just a tree stump. That wasn't an animal. I wasted a bullet. That was just a big slab of rock. That was a boulder. I thought it was an animal. I misinterpreted what I saw. And after a certain period of time, he looks ba'ashbasaso v'tarmilo, he looks into his satchel, and he sees that all he has left is one bullet. And he's still wandering in the forest. And now he's terrified. And he says to himself, I need to make sure not to take any chances. I'm not going to waste this bullet on something that is just a rock, just a boulder, or a tree stump. Before using the last piece of ammunition that I have, the last protection that I was given before venturing out into the forest, before doing that, I'm going to make sure that this is really a situation that's endangering my life. Said the Dumna Magid, look in the next paragraph. Bizman shehayinu be'ir elokeinu har kodesho. When we had Eretz Yisrael and a Beis HaMikdash, hayalanu klei hatzalah harbe, we had so many securities, so many protections, so many layers of armaments that were with us. Beis HaMikdash, Mizbeach, Karbanos, Kohen Gadol, Omid and Mishares. So many different layers that were able to protect us from the impending danger of Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim. Bahem, hayasamach libeinu batuach. We were very confident going into Yom Kippur. The Gemara describes that they had a red string that they used to tie in the Beis HaMikdash, and everybody would watch how every year after the Kohen Gadol did the Avodah, the string would turn white, and everybody understood, Imiyu chataeichem kashanim kashela galbinu. How amazing, how uplifting that experience to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has once again accepted our tshuva, that we were successful, that it worked. Now he says, we don't have any of that. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Kohen Gadol. We don't have the Avoda. We don't have the Karbanos. And all we're left with is one bullet left in the arsenal of our ammunition to protect ourselves. That is the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. Use it well, says the Dubna Magid, because it's the last thing you have. Take advantage of the gift of what the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is, to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to understand that this is the last thing that I have to protect myself, to connect and understand what it is that's happening on this day. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't lose focus. Don't come with your books and your sheets and all the other things that you come with on Yom Noraim. Come with a machzor. Look inside of the machzor and understand, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing right now? What is my focus supposed to be? Last night I spoke in YU in the Beis Medrash, and I shared with them something that I think relates to the point I just made. You know, you'll ask, why does it bother you if I come to shul with my books and with my sheets? I'm not talking to anybody. I would never talk during davening. I don't know anybody who would. I'm not disturbing anybody else. What's the problem? So I'm coming with my own material. It's a very good question. And the answer to that is as follows. I'm sure we all attended a wedding in the past. Baruch Hashem, I have the opportunity to attend more simchas than the other way, but a whole lot of simchas. Baruch Hashem. But you come to a wedding, and there is so much downtime. There is so much time where there's absolutely nothing happening. Just think about it. I'm not complaining, I'm just stating the fact. Think about it from the time that the Badekin ends until the chuppah begins. How long is that? How long? Too much time. Way too much time. So what do we all do? We're guests at the wedding. What do you do when you're sitting there? You talk. Men don't like to talk as much, maybe. I don't know. That's not a negative, but I don't know what they do. Men are involved in their own thing. So what do? You look around at the men's section, and what are they doing? They're all on their phones. Every single one of them is on their phones. And what are they doing? Nothing too important. They're scrolling through, looking through the emails they haven't taken care of yet, responding to all the text messages they haven't yet responded to, looking through all the Facebook posts that are so important right now, and all the Twitter feeds and everything else. Very important things that they're doing. Okay. And the women are doing their thing as well. Maybe you have a good person who comes with a sitter. Maybe you have somebody who comes with a bencher, with a something. They're reading Tehillim. Whatever they're doing, people are doing things. Okay. Now the chuppah begins. Chasam walks down the aisle. Kala comes down the aisle. Again, you have downtime at the chuppah. You read the ksuba. As I mentioned last night, sometimes you have that person who knows that he was designated to get a bracha, but yet has to sit in the back row and needs to trip over everybody along the way until they make their way. I assume you've seen that. My father always told me, Shai, just make sure when you go to a wedding, at least your shoes should be polished. Don't have those back of your shoes, you know, sliced off. You're going to be called up for a bracha. Every person has to look how embarrassing it is to be a Talmud Chacham. You have to look like a shlump, a shlamazel, standing in the back row, tripping over everybody. Come on, be a mensch. So, we have some of that. And then you have the person who was also asked to come to the chuppah for a bracha, but just didn't show up. And a whole commotion breaks out. Oh, who are we going to give it to? What should we do? You ever been to a wedding where they call up an aide? Nowhere to be found. Whole commotion, how do we find another aide? My father actually once told me a story that he was at a chuppah, he was sitting next to somebody, very prominent person. They were talking. And then they call up this individual as an aide kiddushin. My father says, they just called you. He says, no, I'm not going up. So my father said to him, do you not understand? They just called you to be the aide kiddushin. He says, no, they'll find someone else. Interesting. So, a little bit of a tumult. The Bali Simcha are looking at him like, he says, no, find someone else. Anyway, they found somebody else. My father said the next day, there was an article in the New York Times that this person was found a major embezzler of money. So he said, at least he's an honest ganav. At least when they called him up at the wedding as an aide kiddushin, he knew he's going to ruin the wedding. So he said, you know, find someone else. So every so often you have those situations. Yeah, interesting story. As my father said, you stick around long enough in the Rabbanas, you'll see everything. So you come to that wedding and there's a lot of downtime. So we're under the chuppah and the chassan is looking around. What should I do now? It's as good a time as ever to look through my Facebook feed. Pulls out his phone, starts scrolling through his emails, looking through his Facebook and his Twitter. Now you'll say, how disrespectful, the kala's standing right there. She's doing the same thing. She also pulls out her phone, starts looking through. So what's wrong? Why is everyone laughing? Why is it so insane? Why is it ridiculous? Because this is your moment. This is your chuppah. You're not a guest here. Yes, the guests can be on their phones and doing other things and reading a book and pulling out papers and talking to each other, but you can't. You're the reason why we're here. You are the attraction of the evening. You are the reason why everyone came to celebrate. You're going to be on your phone? You need to be present. You need to be here. This is where it's at. That's what's lacking when we come to tefillah. Is there anything offensive about coming to a davening with a book or with a
stack of papers, or with your phone and scrolling through when nothing else is going on?
The answer is yes. Why is it offensive? Because you're not understanding this is your moment. This is you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu having an opportunity to stand under the chuppah together. And yes, is there sometimes downtime in the middle of a chuppah? Yes, there is. Would it be appropriate for me, as the chassan or kala, to pull out my phone and start scrolling through, to take out a book, to ask somebody, oh, you know, we have a couple of seconds, let me read my emails? It's insane. It's insane. No other way to say it. And that's the perspective we need to have when we come to shul and we have the opportunity to be under the chuppah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying Hareyat Mekudeshesli, as we say the Shemona Esrei, Malchios Zichronos and Shofros. That's what we're doing. We're reigniting our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. We're reminding ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu of what this means to us and what it needs to mean to Him as well. And that, says the Dubna Magid, don't waste it. It's the last bullet you have in the gun. It's the last piece of ammunition. It's the last layer of protection that all of us have. Use it well. Don't waste it on the rock or the tree stump. Make sure you use it at the target where it belongs. So you'll notice as you go through the davening, I feel at the pace we're going to be here for a couple of days. There's so much to say. You'll notice in the davening that so much of the tefillah is structured, is formulated in the broad and plural sense. Like when we say the vidui, we say, Tavo lefanecha tefillaseinu. We introduce it by saying, our collective tefillah should come before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Slach lanu Hashem Elokeinu, in the Shemona Esrei every day. Hashivenu avinu lesarasecha. All in the plural. Why is this the case? Why do we do that? It's based on a Gemara Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara tells us, La'olam l'shatef inish nafshei b'hadei tzibura. Person should always try and put themselves in the context of a community. When one is davening, don't daven for yourself. Don't say things in the singular, in the personal, or talk about your own independent need. Say, Slach lanu avinu kichatanu. We should talk about the general ability that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to forgive all of us. Don't single out yourself. This is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskens as well. And the understanding is that it's very difficult for a person on their own merit to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Slach li. I deserve to be forgiven. I deserve to have a parnasa. I deserve to have a refuah. You don't deserve anything. You don't deserve anything in the world. When I say it in the context of the entire community, we deserve. Yes, as a community on the whole, we deserve to be living lives where we'll have a parnasa and be able to take care of our children. Yes, we do. We have what to be proud of as a community. We do lots of great things. We as a community ask you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei rafei. Not because I feel that I am deserving of it personally, individually, but because as a community, we have a right to ask you as a whole that we should be granted a refuah. And whatever that means, it means. But all of our tefillos are generally structured in that way, Bilashon Rabim, which is why Rab Chaim Vital, who was the preeminent student of the Arizal, writes that his Rebbe, the Arizal, used to tell them that every day before the tefillah, before davening, you should say, Hareini mekabal alai mitzvas asei shel ve'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha. Why? We don't say before davening, I accept upon myself that when I get home, I'm going to make sure every doorpost on my home has a mezuzah, because it's irrelevant to the davening. I don't get up and say, you know, if this afternoon there happens to be a bird somewhere, I'm going to do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. It's irrelevant to the davening right now. Of course, it's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that wants me to do that also wants me to do this, but it has nothing to do with what we're discussing. So why would I say at the beginning of davening that I mekabel upon myself the mitzvah of ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? What is the relevance to the davening? And the answer is that when I'm trying to present my tefillah in the context of a community, the first thing to say is, I actually identify with the community and I feel a major part of them. I actually feel very connected to the community. I actually have a love and affinity for this community. I appreciate who they are.
Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha is the first layer before we then venture out into the davening and talk b'lashon rabim, in broad strokes of slach lanu, of refa'enu Hashem, of barech aleinu Hashem Elokeinu, of everything that we ask for as a community. And that is why the most critical paragraph that is repeated in every one of the tefillos of Yom Ha'Noraim, what is that paragraph? What is it that we say in every one? Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv. The same paragraph repeats itself over and over again. While we find a variation in the rest of the Shmona Esrei, obviously the first three and last three brachas are always the same, but the whole middle is continuously changing. But there's one paragraph that we find over and over again, and what is that? Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha. What we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah is, see us all as one community. Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha. Come out onto the entire cosmos, to the entire world, and see that all of us are here together to serve you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in the merit of this community that we feel a very much a critical part of, we ask you for everything else. But that's why this fundamental paragraph is something that finds itself in every one of the tefillos of the Shemona Esrei on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. Because it's so central to what the tefillah is, to the structure of davening. Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha. Let's learn a little bit of Navi together. And I think this really illustrates the point so powerfully. I'm sure many of us are familiar with the story of the Isha HaShunamis. If not, we're about to learn it. It's a beautiful story from Sefer Melachim. But I think there's a very important commentary of the Zohar HaKadosh that gives us an entirely different perspective from what the words actually say. He interprets it into the words. We'll learn it together. Let's see the Pasuk in Sefer Melachim. Vayhi Ayom, there was a great Navi, a great prophet, Vayavar Elisha El Shunam. His name was Elisha HaNavi. Elisha was traveling around different communities, and he comes to a community by the name of Shunam. Visham Isha Gedola, there was a special woman there, a big woman who was prominent. Vatechzak bo lecho lechem. And every time that she noticed that the Navi Elisha was passing through the town, she offered him to come in and have something to eat. Vayhi midei avro yasur shama lecho lechem. And it became the custom that every time he passed through the town, he knew that he can always count on this woman. She's going to take care of him. Okay. Vatomer Elisha. And she and her husband are having a conversation one day, and she says, you know, hinei na yadati ki isha lokim kadoshu. I've come to know this man, Elisha. He's never identified who he is, but it's clear to me that he is an ish kadosh. He's an ish elokim. You know, sometimes you see a person and you see on their face just something that radiates about the personality, about who they are. Very few people have that. But when you see greatness, you understand it. You can't put it into words. And she says, I can sense that this person is an Isha Elokim. Over Aleinu Tamid, and we're so lucky that he's constantly visiting our home. And he's always feeling comfortable when he visits us. You know what? Let's make his stay a little bit more comfortable. Nasa na alias kir katana, I have an idea. Why don't we build a small extension to the house? We'll build a guest room. Vinasim lo sham mita b'shulchan b'kisei menorah. Let's set it up with a bed, with a table, with a refrigerator, with all the things that he needs. Vayhi b'voe leinu yasur shama. And whenever he comes, he doesn't have to feel uncomfortable like he's imposing on us. He doesn't have to feel like he's sitting at our dining room table and getting in the way. We're going to give him his own space. Look, he's such a special person. We would love to have him. But let's make him more comfortable. So, the next time Elisha is passing through town, does the same thing as he usually does, goes through the routine, walking down the street, bumps into this woman. She says, oh, would you like to join us for dinner tonight? He says, yes, thank you so much, so gracious. She says, you know, we have a big upgrade since you were here last. We spoke to the architect, and we did all of the shibutzim, we did everything that needs to be done, and it's ready for you. We've actually made an extension to our house that was designated only for you. It actually has your name on it. And not only have we set up your own place, but we've put a bed there and a microwave and a stove and a refrigerator, everything you can need so that you'll feel comfortable here. And he's so overwhelmed. He goes to take a nap.
And he turns to his assistant by the name of Gehazi and he says, please call this woman. Please call this woman. I want to talk to her. He calls over the woman. The woman engages Elisha in conversation. And he says, you've gone so far out of your way. You've extended yourself. You're so gracious. What can I do for you? I don't know how to say thank you. You've made my travels so enjoyable and so comfortable. So he says, you know, I'm not a wealthy man. I don't know exactly what I could give you in return. It's not like I can pay for this amenity that you've set up for me. So what is it that I can give you? You know what I can offer, he says? I actually have great connections to the government. I'm very close with all the local officials. If you'd like, I can get you an all-access pass. I can have you be a prominent person because I can go to the elected officials. I can tell them that you are my friend. And from here on in, you'll have a very comfortable, open relationship with very powerful people. I think that's the best I can do, Elisha says. I have nothing else to offer. So he asks her, Hayesh ledaber lecha el hamelech o el sar hatzava? Do you want me to go talk to the king and have you be welcome in his palace at all times? Would you like that? Or would you like me to talk to the general of the army and maybe you would appreciate that relationship? Vatomer, and she says, No. Besochami anochi yosheves. I'm okay. Besochami anochi yosheves. I'm good. I'm fine. Now, what does that mean? Seemingly, it means my life is fine. I don't need your connections. I'm doing just fine without this favor. And as much as I appreciate your offer, it's really not something that I'm going to take you up on. Sounds like a pretty simple story. Now, the end of the story was shocking. She actually was a woman who never had children. Why didn't she ask this Ish Elokim that he should give her the blessing of having a child? He's offering you anything. He's saying, I'll do anything in the world to thank you. And finally, the assistant points out to Elisha Hanavi, he says, look at this woman. Her and her husband are living all these years. They don't have children. Why don't you daven that she should have a child? And that's the end of the story. She has a child. The child is born a year later. The child then ends up dying. Then he comes back and he revives the kid. A whole beautiful story, amazing story for another time. But that's the end of the story. But the beginning of the encounter, the beginning of the exchange is very surprising. He's offering you everything and you say no. B'sochami anochi yosheves. Writes the Zohar HaKadosh so beautifully. There's an additional layer of interpretation here. Explains the Zohar HaKadosh, let's read it together. It's in Aramaic, but I'm going to translate. Tachazi, let's try to understand, let's learn. Shunamis kadamar la Elisha. When you had this Isha HaShunamis, this wonderful woman, who was engaged in conversation with Elisha, and Elisha says, Hayesh lecha ledaber el hamelech osar hatzava. Do you want me to speak to the king on your behalf? Do you want to have a relationship? Writes the Zohar HaKadosh, Hahu Yuma, that day, Yomtev de Rosh Hashanah Havi. That day, when Elisha HaNavi was having the conversation with this Isha HaShunamis, it was Rosh Hashanah. He was not asking her, do you want to have protexia? Do you want to have an inn with the most powerful people? Who cares? What's that worth anyway? Of course, that's not what he valued or what she was going to value. She was a woman of substance. What was this conversation about? It was Rosh Hashanah. Elisha said to her, I have an inn with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a Navi. I talk very directly. I communicate with the Ribbono Shel Olam all the time. Hahu Yuma, on that day of Rosh Hashanah, Demalchusa Derakia, Shalta Lemeidan Alma. That is the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with all of his palace and all of his kingdom, comes down onto the world to pass judgment on all of us. V'kut Shabricho Ikru Melech HaMishpat, Pahu Zimna. We refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the day of Rosh Hashanah as HaMelech HaMishpat. Uvegin kach, and as a result of that, Elisha turns to her and he says, today is Rosh Hashanah. Is there anything I can do for you? How can I help you? And what does she respond? I mean, if any of us would have that gift, how many of us ask for the opportunity to go to a great person before the Yom Ne'orayim and ask for a blessing? We ask them, have me in mind in your tefillos. I have something in my life that really could be different, that I wish the situation would change. I don't feel that I have the power on my own to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How many of us have given our names or other people's names that people should have us in mind during the tefillos? You have a Navi in your home, the Ish Elokim, who has intimate conversations with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking you, is there anything in the world I can do to help you? After you've helped him, he owes you. And he owes you a big favor, not a small favor. He's never once done anything in return for what you've done for him all the years. And he's asking you, is there anything you want? Can I talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about you in any way? And what is her response? B'soch ami anochi yosheves. I appreciate your offer, but I'd like to remain with everybody else. Let it sink in for a minute. You're a woman who doesn't have children. You're a person who's been waiting your whole life for this gift of having a child. You may be looking at the answer to your problem. You're looking in the eyes of a Navi who can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything in the world. And you say no. Who would say no to such a thing, and why? Writes the Zohar HaKadosh, look at the next line. Maksiv, what does she respond? Vatomer, Bisoch ami anochi yoshaves. And she responds, no, I appreciate your offer, but I'm here with the whole community. My Ka'amra, asked the Zohar, what is she saying? How does she react like that to a Navi's offer? What she said was, Lo ba'ina lemehavi rishima li'ila, ela li'ila reshea ben sagin. I don't want to be singled out in God's eyes. I don't want God looking at me. I want to be together with the community, and I appreciate your offer, Elisha. I understand that you just want to do good for me. I know that you want to present my case to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I don't want to stand out. B'soch ami anochi yoshaves. It's what this great woman said on Rosh Hashanah. The greatest gift we can have is to see ourselves. Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha. To incorporate ourselves into the entire context of the Jewish community and realize that's the way Yeshua will come. When we truly identify that this is who we are, it's what we say in the davening, Vayhi Vishurun Melech B'Hisasef Rosh Hayam Yachad Shifte Yisrael. We say it in the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. What is that pasuk telling us? Rashi on Chumash says, what does it mean when we say Vayhi Vishurun Melech, that we're going to coronate a king? How do we coronate a king? B'Hisasef Rosh Hayam Yachad Shifte Yisrael. When we have the entire leadership of the Jewish community coming together, when we have every member of the Jewish community coming together, Yachad Shifte Yisrael, that's how you coronate a king, and it's the only way. And that, says the Isha Shunamis. Does anybody else hear that? That, says the Isha Shunamis, is what it means. When we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course we want you to remember us, and there's so much in our lives that we feel is lacking. We feel we would be better off if things were different. And we want all of those yeshuas, we want all those refuas, we want all the things that people daven for. But most importantly, we present ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as B'soch ami anochi yosheves. Writes Zohar HaKadosh, I'm terrified to be singled out in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your Ribbono Shel Olam is going to look at me and say, let me see whether you as an individual are really deserving. There's no way I'm going to be able to answer that question honestly. My only chance is Meloch al kala ulam kulo bichvodech. My only chance is vayhi bishurin melech behis asef rashayam yachad shifte Yisrael. When I come together with the entire Jewish community, that's my chance. That's my ticket. That, writes the Arizal, is why we say v'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha before we begin the daven. Because without it, what is my daven? Without it, what merit do I have, what right do I have to even ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything? It's a beautiful story told about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I think every story about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is beautiful. He was such a beautiful person. But one year before Sukkot, there was a new company of Hadassim that came to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and they said, beyond any shadow of a doubt, we have proven that these Hadassim are the only kosher Hadassim in the world. Every other company has this problem, that problem. If you look through the Gemara, all the specifications, what you need to have Hadassim properly, no one's doing it right. We're the only ones. So, we found it. We're showing you the evidence of why it is that we're very convinced of our argument. And we'd like you to have the great merit, the great schus, of using the world's first kosher Hadassim in the last 100 years. So we're giving it to you as a gift. Shlomo Zalman turned to them immediately and he furiously objected. He said, you can take it back. I'd rather sit with all of Klal Yisrael in Gehenna than to sit with two of you in Gan Eden. I'm not interested. I see myself as a part of the Jewish community. I'd rather sit with all of Klal Yisrael in Gehenna than to sit with two of you exclusive people in Gan Eden. It's worth nothing to me. We see ourselves as part of a much larger whole. But there's something very glaring when we look through the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. Yes, it's the Yom HaDin, which surprisingly you look through the Chumash and nowhere do you find a mention or a trace that Rosh Hashanah is actually a Yom HaDin. Doesn't say it anywhere. In the davening we talk, V'chol da'i olam yavrin lefanecha kibnei maron. Something very serious going on in Rosh Hashanah. But nowhere does the Torah actually say it's the Yom HaDin. But this is our understanding. So it's a Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin means that there are numerous aspects of our personal lives that are going to be determined on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, Mizonosav shaladam ksuvim lo me'Rosh Hashanah ad Rosh Hashanah. How much money a person will have or not have is determined already on Rosh Hashanah. So you can work as hard as you like, you can swindle other people, you can steal money. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already decided from the outset how much money you're going to have next year. So it's already decided. It is what it is. And every aspect of our life is like that as well. Well, if that's really the case, then how is it that we approach Rosh Hashanah and we come to the tefillah and yet we don't ask for anything? Ever notice that? Did anybody here ever notice that? Okay, time to get an art school machzer. Look through the machzer and you will notice there is nothing that we ask for. Do you not know somebody that needs a refuah? Is there anybody here who does not know somebody who needs a shidduch? Is there anyone here who doesn't know an individual in our community who needs to have a parnasa or nachas from their children or the gift of having children? And the list goes on. So why don't we ask for anything? You look through the entirety of the davening, and as much as we said Malchiyos Zichronos Shofaros reminds us of the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit, of Metzias Hashem, of Schar Va'Onesh, of Torah Min HaShamayim, it's beautiful. It's great. But it's Yom HaDin. Why are we not talking about the things that we need? Why is there no mention of the particulars of our lives or anyone else that we're friendly with? It's a glaring omission. You go through the entire machzor and you won't find it. So the answer is as follows. Again, I'll close with this. It's a comment of the Dubna Magid, where he says as follows. Mashal Av Shehayu Lo Kama Banim. There was a father who had a number of children, 4 sons. Came time for them to go to university, and he says, we don't have a university that is up to their standard in this community. And he understands that he needs to send them away. He wants them to have a very good education. Vayishalchem lemer chakim lilmod chachmos. He sends them away to a prestigious university so that they can really learn a lot and they can really be successful. Vitzibo Osama, he tells them, anytime you need anything, obviously I'm not anywhere near you, but send me a letter. Send me a letter, and I'll be happy to try to figure out how to get you what you need. Pam kasav echad el aviv. So the four brothers get together one day and they say, you know, we've been here for a few weeks already. Let's send a letter back home. Let them know how things are going. Let them know what we need, more importantly. So the first brother writes on the first line. They take out a postcard from the post office. First brother writes the first line. He says, hi, my name is Yaakov. I'm doing great here. My problem is classes start at a certain time. I don't have a watch. So I keep coming late. I keep getting, you know, marked by the professor. It's a problem. Would you mind sending me a watch? Okay, it's a fair request. Second one says, my name is Shlomo. I'm doing really well here. Everything's great. I'm acclimating well. My problem is I didn't bring enough changes of clothing. Like, I thought that we would have a washing machine in our room. Turns out we don't. And there's always a long line. I just need a couple of more articles of clothing. I'm just not making it through the week. Fair. Third line, along comes Yosef, the third brother, and he says, you know, I'm also going to write to the father. And he says, I totally forgot I have this nasal decongestant, you know, the spray that I use. I'm so congested right now. Maybe you can send me the Sudafed. I just forgot my medication. I'm on some pill. I take it every day. I totally forgot. I'm about to run out. I need a refill. Can you send it to me? Okay, along comes the fourth brother, Aaron, and he says, please, Daddy, send me money for tachrichim and in order that I should be able to buy a burial plot. Why? Because my life is in danger. Because I'm so sick. I've been in the hospital since the day we got here. I was in and out of consciousness. The doctors are telling me I have multi-organ failure. I don't know what to do. What's going to happen after I die? Who's going to bury me? We don't have any money here. Can you at least send me money that I should have something to go out of this world with dignity? I should be able to bury myself to pay for tachrichim. So they're standing there in the post office, and they have this postcard that they're about to send home. The postal worker reads it through and he says, are you kids nuts? Is this real? So yeah, it's real. We just came from the hospital. Our brother filled out the last line here. If that's what's going on in your family, you're worrying about your watch and your clothing you don't have. You don't have enough underwear. You don't have a Sudafed. Are you crazy? Your brother's dying. You think your father's going to read anything else in this letter? All he's going to look at is the fourth brother and rush immediately to go save him, to pay whatever money he can to get that brother out of the hospital, to get him the greatest medical care that he can provide. You guys are writing about your watches and your clothing? You're insane. You're insane. Writes the Dubna Magid, you ask yourself, why is it on Rosh Hashanah we're not asking for all the things in our lives that we think are so important? And they are important. Without the watch, you're never going to make it to class on time. Without the clothing, you can't be a functioning member of society. Without your medication, you cannot function normally. You can't wake up in the morning, you can't sleep at nights. Of course, all of those are necessities. Without that shidduch, I'm not going to be the fulfilled person that I need to be. And without the good health, I cannot do anything. I'm stuck in the hospital, I'm having all these problems. Without a parnasa, what am I going to do? How can I take care of my family? All of these are real necessities. They're not fake. Without nachas for my children, I can't survive from the agmas nefesh that I'm living with. These are real issues. Very legitimate to ask our Father for. We have every right to do that. And really, we should. Our entire tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur should be all about these issues. and everything else as we go through the journey of our lives and others and see where the holes are. What it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do for us that we feel would enhance our experience of life. Why do we not do it? Says the Dubna Magid, because we have a much larger issue that we're looking at right now. We have an issue that is of existential nature to the Jewish people. We live in a world that doesn't care about God. We live in a world that is so detached. A world where there's so much intermarriage, where Jews are withering away, where they're literally going to the grave. Their children will not be Jewish. Yes, children in our community will have children, Rachmana Litzlan, who won't be Jewish. If you think it's not happening here, it is. Our children are also on university campuses and meeting other people. It's happening to our children also. And you're worrying about your watch? You're concerned about your extra clothing? You're worrying about your Sudafed pills? Of course these are concerns, and of course we all need them. But look at the much larger issue and understand it's all in a context. You're not living in a vacuum. You're living as part of this community. Look at what's happening. We live in a world where nobody has values anymore. Where everything's upside down. Where we cannot stand up as Jews and believe what we're supposed to believe in anymore. Where you have psukim and chumash that people are denying exist. And we're fighting in Supreme Court over these issues. How could it be? We live in a world where we've lost our way. We live in a world where God is not the focal point. We live in a world where Jews are being lost every minute of the day all over this country. We focus our entire tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, on that idea. Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo bichvodecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we all have problems. We all have things that we need you to help us with. We all have individual issues that are of great import to us or to our friends. But we understand that we're going to put it all aside right now because all of that is secondary to the much larger existential issue that's going on in our family. We have a fourth brother in our family who's actually dying in the hospital and is asking you to pay for the arrangements for his funeral. Because in a couple of days, he won't be here any longer, and we can't help him. Is the father going to pay attention to anything else on that postcard? It's irrelevant right now. It's a much larger problem that he has to worry about. We put all of our things aside. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, all we ask is one thing. Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo bichvodecha. Vihinasei al kol ha'aretz bikarecha. Vahofa b'hadar ga'onu zecha al kol yoshvei sevel artzecha. Think about those words. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when will the time come that you will reveal yourself? V'yeda kol po'ol ki ata fi'alto. When will come the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, I am the one who created you. I put you here in this earth. V'yomar kol asher neshama be'apo. Hashem Elokei Yisrael melech u'malchusa b'kol mashallah. That is the most critical tefillah, the most existential threat to the Jewish community and the Jewish people and to the Ribono Shel Olam himself. The fact that we live in a world that we do today. And that there's nothing we can do about it. We turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, we need your help with lots of things. But we're going to put it all aside now because we understand and appreciate that this issue is much more critical than anything else we're facing, than anything else we're looking at. And if you don't take care of this, we're not going to be here to have what to talk about. We're not going to be here to have a shidduch or to have a parnasa. We're not going to be here to have nachas from our children because there won't be children. Because there won't be a Jewish people. Because we won't be here. because our family is going to be destroyed and we won't be able to continue. While we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do so many different things for us, we focus our tefillah on Rosh Hashanah to that which we know is of the most critical nature to the future of the Jewish people. And that is why we don't mention any of the other issues that all of us face. It's not to say that they're not issues. It's not to say that they're not important. It's not to say that we shouldn't be sympathetic to those who may be struggling with lots of things in their lives. Of course we need to have them in mind. And of course we need to think about them. We present all of that as an addendum to the much larger bakasha that we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's what we say in the Kaddish, Yiskadel v'Yiskadei Shemei Rabbah. We hope to live in a world where the name, where the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will finally be revealed. Where the Ribono Shel Olam will be able to come and show Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech u'Malchuso b'kol mashalah. That's what we look forward to. It's what we all need. It's what we're lacking. It's what we're missing. In the godless world that we live, in a world where they don't have respect for godly values anymore, where people cannot accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus u'Malchuso b'kol mashalah. This is what we ask for. It's not to the exclusion of anything else, but it's just the most important thing that needs to be on the forefront of all of our minds as we approach the Yom Noraim. So let me take the opportunity